My text tonight is Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. The Bible says there, if you're able to stand, we're going to read one verse, gives you time to stretch your legs and respect the Word of God tonight. Matthew chapter 16, and beginning from verse 21, the Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you asking for the blessing upon your word to our hearts. I pray right now that you'd be with Budwe, strengthen his heart. Oh Lord, I just pray that you'd comfort him right now and that the Spirit of God may continue to work in his life as he cries out to you tonight for his family. I pray, Father, that your will be done continually in his life and that he'd be a light to them. I pray that you remove any distractions, please, from here tonight, from the hearts of us, every single one of us, that I may preach with liberty and may the people hear in liberty for the glory of God and for the sake of the gospel and, Father, for the sake of those that are perishing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. After Jesus was sentenced to death, he was led away to be scourged, and after it took time to be led into the common hall by the soldiers that mocked him, laughed at him, humiliated him, and put upon him a crown of thorns and beat him up. And it was then they spat upon him and plucked the hairs of his beard. And then moments later, they led him away to be crucified. Now you say with this question tonight, why did our God become a man? Why did Jesus Christ have to come to this world and suffer and die for us? Why did he have to do it? I want you to think about that. And we're not going to turn to different scriptures. The scriptures are going to be up on the screen for the sake of time. And I appreciate we have just taking a further of your time, but please be patient with me tonight. I'm sure that the Word of God will prevail in your hearts and we won't allow distractions to take place. This is the Lord's day, amen. Why? Why did God become a man to die for sinful people? Why? Why did he have to come and suffer the suffering that he had taken place physically, emotionally, going on the cross, and then suffering the separation from God the Father, the pain and the agony that he would have been going through? Why did he have to do that? And this question, and the answer here today, he did it for you. He did it for you. And you say here tonight, why did he do it for me? Why me? Why me? Well, I'm going to give you three powerful proofs why he did it for you tonight. And number one, he did it because God cannot overlook sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." It was there on the cross. Jesus was being judged for your sin and my sin. It was there on the cross that Jesus was paying the penalty for our sin. And you say, what sin? Well, sin is rebellion against God. Sin is to live your life without God. Sin is to turn your back on His way and live your way. Sin is also transgression of the law, breaking God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and all the rest of that. And sin, the Bible says, is all unrighteousness. What you know to do is right, and you do not do that, the Bible says, that's sin. And God cannot overlook sin. And every single one of us in this room are sinners. We've been born with it. We inherited it from Adam and Eve. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "For all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because God is holy and because He's perfect and is a perfect just judge. He cannot disregard sin. He must judge it. And He did it with His own blood. He suffered and died on the cross because He was being judged for our sin. For the wages of sin is death. He was paying for our sin. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that death is not just a physical death. That death is a spiritual death, being separated from God. The relationship or the bond that we've had with God the Father, our Creator. Sin has separated us. And not only the spiritual death, but the physical death. That's when your soul or your spirit leaves your body. And your body dies, it decays, it goes to the ground. But there's also a second death that the Bible speaks about. The Bible speaks about the separation from God forever in the lake of fire. And that's when someone does not choose to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they die in their sinful state. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Sin is a great separator between God and man. Jesus Christ went on that old rugged cross, suffering the shame and the pain, which He died for us on that cross. He was being judged for our sin, so we can stand right with God, made right with God again. Romans 6:23 says, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. It was there on the cross. God was judging our sin. You say, why did He suffer? Because He was judging your sin and my sin on that cross. He was paying the price of death. The penalty for our sin is death. And the second powerful proof why God had become a man and died on the rugged cross and suffered the way He did and died and rose again the third day is the reality of hell. You say, if hell, it doesn't exist, then why did Jesus Christ have to suffer the way He did? If there isn't truly a hell, then why did He have to come and suffer the way He did? Why did He have to go through the pain and the shame and agonizing death? Wouldn't make any sense. Well, He did it, my friend, here tonight, because He doesn't want you to die in your sin and go to hell. He did it to save you from that place and to protect you from the judgment that leads to hell. He did it for you so you don't perish in hell. Many people in hell today because they rejected the gift of God. It's not the fact that God didn't love them. God loves them. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. It's the fact that they said no to God, and they found themselves walking the path of the devil. See, hell was never created for mankind. Hell was created for Lucifer, the fallen angel and his demons, and the third that followed him. Hell was never created for human beings. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then ye shall say unto them on the right and the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the lake of fire prepared for who? The devils and his angels. The story was told about a Jewish woman. She was approached by a Christian. And he said to her that she needed Jesus Christ to be saved. And he was letting her know about the wonderful news and the suffering of Jesus Christ, that He had died and paid for the sins of the world, including Jews and herself, and that God didn't want her to go to hell for her sin. And she said, well, I don't really believe that there's a hell. He says, why? She says, I can't believe that 6 million of my Jewish brothers and sisters in the day of Hitler, where they were executed by his authority and his hand, I cannot believe that they're going to go to hell. And then he looked at the woman and he said, okay then, when you go to heaven, say hi to Adolf Hitler. And she goes, who? Him? No way! He's going to hell! See, even this woman knows that unrepented sinners go to hell. But Hitler's not the only one. We've all sinned. Jesus took it to the next level and he said, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. You've got the power to do what he did. You've got the power to do what these men did. You've got the power in you to do it. The difference between them and us is we're saved sinners and they're lost sinners. That's the difference. An unrepented people that want to follow Satan, his lies and his pernicious ways, would only make their own choice by going to hell by their own choice. The Bible mentions about a true story about a rich man and Lazarus. Remember that story? I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time. We won't turn there. But the rich man lived his life without God. He did not heed the prophet's warning about rebelling against God. The prophets will come in that day and warn against rebellion against God and say, if you don't turn, you're going to perish and judgment will come. And he did not heed the warning. And the poor man Lazarus was poor and in spirit. We know that he had a heart for God. He ended up, both of them dying, and Lazarus ended up in heaven and the rich man ended up in hell. The Bible says there in Luke 16 verse 23, and he lifted up his eyes and being in torments and seen Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He was in torment. Hell is a place of torment. Notice the first thing the rich man cried out for in verse 24, and he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is a place of dehydration. The first thing that he ever cried out for was not a cup of water, but a drop of water. He says, I'm tormented. It's almost like he couldn't catch his breath. His breath was taken away, and there at the cross, Jesus Christ was going through hell for us when he said, I thirst, but they gave him vinegar. It reminds me of what Jesus said to the lady at the well in John chapter 4, verse 14. He said to her, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give them shall never thirst. Amen. Shall never thirst. In this life and the life to come, poor rich man, he didn't heed the warning. He didn't repent and come back and ask Jesus to be his Savior. And now he's in hell thirsting. But we see also hell is a place of weeping. Matthew chapter 13 verse 49, the Bible says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever, means to separate the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus was being crucified, there were ladies at that place, the place of Calvary, and they were beating upon their chest. They were beating upon their chest and they were weeping and crying for him. And he turned to them in Luke chapter 3 and verse 28. And he said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And verse 31, he goes on to say, for if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? What he's trying to say is that Jesus didn't deserve what came to him. We do. Weep for yourselves. Anyone outside of Christ is going to a Christless hell. And he says, weep for you. Weep for your children. Making the right decision of receiving Jesus as your Savior. But hell, I tell you, is also a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. Not only weeping. Imagine there on the cross, Jesus Christ. They say that he had to kind of push himself up to catch a breath so he can go a little while more. Can you imagine the nails piercing through his hands and his feet as he lifts himself up? The gnashing of teeth that Jesus went through. You know why Jesus went through that? So you don't go to hell for all eternity. And you know what? This is the thing in our day. People really think it's a game. Oh, all my friends are going to be there. Last night we went out soul winning and one of the things said, oh, I want to go to hell. All my friends are going to be there. They may be there, but they'll be doing this if they don't turn to Christ. It's not a game. This is not a game. This is serious. God didn't suffer on the cross and die on the cross for nothing. He did it because He loves you and He doesn't want you to go to such a place. He loves you. But also, we see hell is a place of remembrance and regret. Luke chapter 16 and verse 25, the Bible says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Abraham reminds the rich man, remember the time that you were living it up without God. Remember the time that you didn't want God in your life. Remember the time that God sent a man and a woman with a heart to see you saved, and you said, "Nah, I'm okay. Thank you very much." I really believe it's going to be a place of remembrance and regret. And also, hell is a place of no return. The Bible says there, Luke chapter 16 and verse 26, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that there would come from thence." The decision has been made. There's no turning back. You only get one choice here on earth. Jesus or yourself? God that gave you life, or you want to worship yourself as a god? That's what the devil wants you to do. That's what he said to Adam and Eve. He said to Eve, "And you shall be as gods." There's no return. There's no, "Yeah, when I'm in hell, okay, Lord, I'll come back now." That's it. There's a gulf. It's fixed. And this is the day where you turn to God. This is the day where, if you hear His voice in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts." I beg you that you don't harden your hearts, and today or tonight will be the night that you turn to Christ if you haven't already. On an American troop ship during the Second World War, the soldiers crowded round about the preacher and they said, "Preacher, do you believe in a hell?" And the preacher looked at them and he says, "Ah, nah, it's just to scare people into religion." He says, "Oh, serious? Then we don't need you then. And if there is a hell, you're deceiving us." Friend, I don't want to deceive you here tonight. God says that there is a hell and He doesn't want you to go there. The devil does. Jesus Christ proved that there is a hell by the life that He lived and how He died and suffered. He went through hell, so you don't go there. He died as a sinner, so you don't die in your sin. He doesn't want you to go there. He loves you. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, Jesus says, "I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." Someone asked the Christian, "Do you know where hell is?" And he said, "Certainly. It's at the end of a Christless life. No Christ, no life. He that had the Son have life. And he that had not the Son of God have not life." Gee, many people say there are different ways to get to God, to get to heaven. But Jesus said this, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Some say all roads lead to the same place as long as you are sincere. But friend, did you know that you could be sincerely wrong? Did you know that? Sincerity and truth. Sincerity has no legs to walk on compared to the Word of God. You can have zeal, you can have passion, you can have your religious rituals, but none of these things will get you to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the only way of escaping judgment to come and have your sin forgiven and have your relationship restored with God again is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Not by religion, not by rituals, not by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. There's only one way you and I can get to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only one way. There aren't many ways. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, "For I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain," and Christ didn't die for nothing. Righteousness didn't come by keeping the Ten Commandments. We cannot keep them. Righteousness has come from Jesus Christ. Jesus never suffered and died on the cross for nothing. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost." Last truth. Why did Jesus Christ suffer and die on the cross? Last truth. Because God loves you. It wasn't those nails that held him on the cross. It was his love for you. Anytime he said, "Peter, I can call thousands of angels. They can fight for me. Put your sword away. I've come to die for the world. I never came here to destroy. I've come to seek and save that which is lost." And perhaps one of those soldiers, the centurion at that time, saw the reaction of Jesus and looked up and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." You say, how was he won? He was won by the love of God. And friend, if you and I are ever going to win people to Christ, it's by the love of God. It's not the judgment message. It's the love message that God has given to you and me. And friend, if you don't know Christ here today, I'm telling you, God loves you. And he died in your place. He doesn't want you to follow Satan. He doesn't want you to be judged for your sin. And he doesn't want you to go to hell. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? This life is going to end. Eternity is forever. What are you going to do with Jesus? He gave his life. He couldn't prove his love any more than he did. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us." Isaiah 50 verse 6. Jesus said, "This, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Friend, here tonight, he chose to go on that cross. He didn't have to. But he did it because he loves you. He loves you. John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." This is how we see the love of God, by him laying down his life for us. He was a king and he became a servant. He was rich and he became poor. The Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for yet your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. Christ suffered and died for you." He loves you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," that's you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that's you, "should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you trusted the Lord? Have you made that choice? Do you know for sure that if you die, you'd go to heaven? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? What a terrible thing for that day that people reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If you reject this gift and you don't repent, you will stand and be judged for your sin. Many try to count the cost today and they say, "Oh, is it worth it? What would I lose?" Why don't you ask the question, what will you gain? Too many people are worried about what they're going to lose. Lose what? What do you have that God didn't give you anyway? And he wants to give you more. Don't be fooled by the lies of the devil. The devil's going down and he wants you to go down. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" A judge named Gary later went on to serve as the justice of the Supreme Court. He said to a man that escaped conviction because of a loophole in the law, he says, "I know that you are guilty and you know it. And I wish you to remember that one day that you will stand before a better and wiser judge, and that you will be dealt with according to the justice and not according to the law. Man's justice is always subject to error, but God's justice is perfect. No sin escapes His gaze. And though punishment is sometimes delayed as God grants room to repent, it is certain that no one can escape God's justice. It will come. He came as the Lamb to die for the sins of the world. But anyone that rejects Him, He will come as the Judge, the Lion of Judah. How will you stand before God? Redeemed or condemned? Redeemed or condemned? How will you stand? What a horrifying day it will be for those that reject Christ. But what a glorious day it will be for those that receive Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, but that if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say maybe, hope so. It says you will be. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to close with this story. A certain American ship was in a bad state. It had sprung a leak. It was going down. She therefore raised the signal of distress, and other ships came close to rescue, and the captain on board blew with the trumpet and said, what's wrong? And the captain of that ship said, we sprung a leak. We're in bad repair. We're going down. It was late at night, and the captain said, wait for rescue till the morning. The other captain in the rescue ship said, it's better not we wait. Let's do it now. And the second time the answer came back and it said, wait in the morning. He said, it's better we do it now. 2 hours went by. No lights, no sound. The ship had hit the abyss. Sinner, friend, don't wait till the morning. The morning may not come. Today is the day. It may not come. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Many tonight will say, I'll wait till the morning. Don't wait. Is God tugging at your heart tonight? Come home. Just come home. This world's got nothing to give you. It's already robbed you. What would you do with Jesus tonight? What would you do with the sufferings? Why did He suffer and die? For you and me. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment to respond to this message.